Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verses 19 to 28. And this is quite a passage, so pay heed. If you have copies of it, if you have the Magnificat magazine or the Word Among Us, or you follow it, take a look at the Word. If you have a Bible handy, if you don't, please get one. Have a Bible handy. Turn to Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 28, because the Word of God, because we're so distractible, because we're operating on so many different levels simultaneously, it seems, it's very, very hard with letting something come in through one sense to really pay attention to it. So if we read it just with our eyes and there's a lot of noise and confusion around us, how much do we really hear? In this case, I would say, listen to my reading it at the same time you read it, so that more of you can be captured to really pay attention to the power of the Word itself. So Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verses 19 to 28. In those days, some Jews from Antioch and Iconium arrived and won over the crowds. Uh-oh, trouble. They've been going around preaching the gospel, but there's trouble. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. They thought they had killed him. When they stoned, they didn't pick up pebbles, brothers and sisters. You know that. Boulders. Whatever they could heave. Any one of them could kill you. Aim for the head. Vulnerable. Terrible, terrible, terrible way to suffer and to die. And they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered around him, he got up and entered the city. Now, you can say, oh, well, he just fell asleep. Well, he wouldn't have fallen asleep in that kind of turmoil, brothers and sisters. He was knocked unconscious and left for dead. And they knew what they were doing. They'd know when someone was wounded and when they thought someone was either dead or pretty close to death. But when the disciples gathered around him, he got up and entered the city. What do you think those disciples did? They prayed. Restore life to him. And notice, he just got up and entered the city with them. He got up. He was healed. You're not stoned like that. Even if you're still alive, you're not stoned like that and then brush the dirt off your hands and stand up and say, okay, let's go. You don't do that. But that's what happened here. When the disciples gathered around him, he got up and entered the city. And on the following day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. So there was no recuperation time. I think a miracle occurred here. And after they had proclaimed the good news to the city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Brothers and sisters, they're going back where there are the enemies. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It's necessary. We've got to defeat the work of the enemy. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us a lot. Are you on board or not? And I think the same needs to be said to us today. Are you a disciple or are you not? Are you on board or are you not? Are you ready to follow him wherever he leads? We need to get to that place. In one sense, brothers and sisters, yes, we have a free will and we can choose against that. But if you want to know eternal life, you better be willing to follow him now. Why do I say that? Because we can have the best of intentions, but the world, the flesh, and the devil, the more we are fighting it, the more the world, flesh, and devil try to entice us, and oftentimes they win. Oh yeah, one day, yeah, I used to be a disciple, but no more. Too much going on. Don't let that happen to you. They appointed presbyters for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. And after proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And then they spent no little time with the disciples. Why did they spend no little time? Because they needed the support of one another. And they needed to teach, and they needed to be able to pray together, and they needed to be able to hear the Lord together, and to see the direction, and to see the priorities. They spent no little time. It isn't out just getting a job done that you check off a list. It's becoming more and more his disciple, his brother, his son, his daughter, his sister. It's becoming a true relative of Jesus Christ, and that you want to be with him and as near to him as much as possible, that you might imbibe what he has to offer, and he has to offer an abundance, a luxurious abundance all the time. It's we who don't take advantage of it. It's we who are not willing to sit before the Lord and to allow him to form us and mold us and shape us so that we can be used for the building of his kingdom and the protection of his kingdom. You need other people with you. You need support. You need to be able to pray with people. Look around for them. Ask God to supply them. I know some people who have a phone connection with a number of people. It's a phone connection, and they get together once a month, I think it is, just to pray together over the phone because they're scattered all over the place. Find where your friends are. They might be right in your own backyard. Pay attention. But it might also be that there are people that you met at a particular event or retreat or conference or whatever, and you felt a bond there, and you want to foster that. Set up a regular time to pray together. You need prayer. You need to share your life with someone. You can't just do it on your own. The enemy wheedles his way in there in all kinds of ways. We need one another, brothers and sisters. They spent no little time with the disciples. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Psalm 145. We need to not only be able to pray, but we need to tell each other what God is doing in this area or that area, or the homily that we just heard that was really outstanding. We need to encourage one another, to give one another resources. Read this, listen to this, so that we can build up our faith together. Your friends make known, O Lord, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. May my mouth speak the praise of the Lord, and may all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And the gospel reading for today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 27 to 31. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." So peace is not a thing. Peace is God sharing himself with you. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do just as the Father has commanded me." We're called to imitate Jesus. What is your relationship like with God, your Father? How close are you to him? Do you seek his will as Jesus did? The Father and I are one. I do only what the Father tells me so that the world may know I love the Father. Have you entered into a relationship with God, your Father? The world must know I love the Father, and I do. This is Jesus, that I do just as the Father has commanded me. If Jesus is saying that, how much more should we say that? I love the Father, and I do just as the Father has commanded me, by the grace and power won for me upon the cross by Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, infuse wisdom and understanding and courage and hope in my heart, that I might follow you wherever you lead. That's what God wants to do in us. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. That means to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. It comes out of the relationship. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. When he ascends into heaven, they remembered what he had told them. I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father and that I do just as the Father has commanded me. What joy it must bring to the heart of Jesus and to the heart of the Father when you say, Lord, I am your son and I am your daughter. I want to follow you, whatever the cost. I want to follow you all the days of my life. When you say that, and you mean it, even with some trepidation, but you say it and you mean it, God will be very, very near to you. I mean that. When God asks something of us, he provides not just things to help us, he provides himself. He becomes more and more evident. He is always with us. But when we choose to follow his, there is peace that comes into our heart that you can't compare it to anything else. So just say to Jesus, I desire to be your disciple. I desire to follow you. I don't know how. I know I'm weak, but I want to follow after you. Help me to read your word. Help me to understand it. Help me to be courageous in my decisions and my choices. Help me to turn away from that which leads me into evil. Give me strength and grace to turn away and to turn toward you, Lord. You are the fullness of life. When you begin to pray like that day after day, you're going to see great change in your life. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.